Good morning. It's Tuesday, August 20th. I'm Kyle Ahmer with the guru, Chris Bellina, and welcome to The Blitz.
What's going on?
Well, this is our third installment here. We've already done the quarterbacks. We've already done the running backs, all the rankings and where we think everybody should fall. Go back, listen to those episodes if you didn't listen to them, because we're not like everybody else. We're not going to tell you to draft the same ones in the same spots all the time. Go back, listen to them, get the analysis
right
of why we think that you should pick these guys where they are. So we're moving on now, going on to the wide receivers. Wide receivers always a volatile position, let's say. You know, things are up and down all around. There's also quite a bit of depth, and we figured that out last week, too, when we talked about the running backs, how deep we could actually go. Like 14 players deep, I'd be happy.
Well, right. You start looking at it. God, there's no running backs. There's nobody. Next, you know, Matt Forte's at 10.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm happy with that.
Exclusive. He's an exclusive running back.
Yeah, all the catches and all the passes. I don't even who is the backup there? Was Michael Bush?
I don't know if he's still there. They might even cut him. I don't know. I think they drafted somebody named Bell, I think. I don't know. I would stay away from their backup because Forte's the guy. Catches the ball, runs the ball. And you know what? You start looking at wide receivers, you're like, wow, it's deep. Deep. A lot of number one wide receivers, and since it's a passing league, a lot of them are going to be very productive.
Right. There is also a lot of opinions on where guys should fall exactly. So no big surprise here. We have guys listed in spots that aren't exactly lining up with what the masses say they should be lined up at. Number one, consensus all over the entire world, is the guy in Detroit, obviously, right? Calvin Johnson. He's the best guy. Megatron. There's a giant transformer that wanders around outside the games. He's that good.
Not this year.
We don't have him. Nope. Who do you have as number one instead?
I have AJ Green.
Why?
Okay. A lot of factors.
It's inconceivable.
This is why I'm the guru, and this is why, you know, I've earned that nickname. And I'll tell you, good question.
Along with other nicknames I'd like to point out.
Yeah, exactly. It's a family show, so we'll keep the guru as the nickname. In this case, the fact that they've added more dimensions to the offense. Cincinnati is going to make A.J. Green see a lot more single coverage. They went to the two tight end set. They got the number one tight end to go with Gressom, who was a top eight tight end. Okay, and that takes away the fact that somebody on the other side is really not a factor in that offense. You have Giovanni as a running back with Ben Jarvis Greenhouse, and Dalton's going to take that next step along with A.J. Green. This is his third year. That's always the year they take off wide receivers. I just think in this case, the weapons they brought in and the defense that they have, which means they're going to get a lot of turnovers, which means he's going to get a lot more opportunities to score. He is going to be, at the end of the year, the number one wide receiver. The reason why I think Calvin Johnson is going to slip is because they brought Reggie Bush in. Okay? There's 70 receptions and probably 100 targets now that are going to be going in another direction. Okay, they weren't all going to be for Calvin Johnson, but he's going to get a lot of production, Reggie Bush, out of that position. And I think you're going to see the emergence of Ryan Broyles. Again, wide receivers. And I think with that, it's going to take away from the targets for Calvin Johnson. I think you're going to see a drop in production. And I think it's the same exact scenarios, but I think it's going to affect the receivers differently. And I think A.J. Green's going to benefit from it, from the increased weapons, because of the weapons they brought in, where I think Calvin Johnson is going to drop a little bit.
Dez Bryant at 3. This is a huge turnaround in the mentality of this show.
Yeah.
We banged on this guy for years, just basically saying his head isn't in the game, and he was living up to all of the naysayers when he was drafted about his attitude and what he was doing. Well, it took an injury, I think, to Miles Austin to have the responsibility thrown onto Dez Bryant that, look, dude, this is it. You have to step up.
Well,
and
right.
We're thinking he did step up now.
He was the target of my free-floating hostilities numerous times last year. Basically, the guy would get 4 catches, 70 yards in the first half and disappear in the second half. And then it just, a light bulb went off. And when I watched this guy's rookie year, he was a man amongst boys. His hands are humongous. Big, big frame guy, fast, just a man amongst boys. If he ever put it all together, he could put up numbers that Calvin Johnson puts up, because he's that big of a mismatch for every defensive back. And I think if Miles Austin can stay healthy, and the running game is productive. Again, he is going to have he's going to parlay the second half of last year into a full season this year, and you're going to look at super numbers, 90 catches, 1,600 yards probably, 1,500 yards, 12 to 14 touchdowns, and he's going to slide in there right as a number three wide receiver in fantasy football.
Brandon Marshall, is there anybody else even catching the ball in Chicago this year?
Earl Bennett. Don't I keep calling his name out there?
Yes, you just cannot stay away from him, can you?
No, I'm an Earl Bennett fan, I guess. But no, there's nobody else to catch the ball other than Matt.
Alshon Jeffrey.
Rookies.
Had some injury problems last year.
So. Yeah, and rookies don't usually come in and have a major impact. Well, the elite ones do.
Well, that was last year, so he gets his second year. He gets his second try this year, but he struggled last year with those injuries trying to, so now, I don't know, maybe he'll stay healthy this year and get in there and get a little, but at this point in time, I agree. Until Cutler, who has apparently got some sort of lock-in-on syndrome, he does this a lot. He finds his receivers. He did it in Denver. He's done it in Chicago. When he likes a receiver, he just keeps throwing him the ball. I don't know if he's got some sort of arrangement with these wide receivers. Got some sort of alimony payment to him, so he goes ahead and throws it to him.
I'll tell you, with Brandon Marshall, I got to say this. He reminds me a lot of Sterling Sharp. Hmm. And here's why. When Brett Favre was playing and Sterling Sharp was there, Sterling Sharp was the only target Brett Favre had, and yet he still got 100-plus catches a year. In my opinion, I think, and I know this is sacrilegious to say it, Sterling Sharp's probably the best wide receiver I ever seen play because of that. He was the only guy getting the ball. Everyone knew he was getting the ball. Everyone knew Brett Favre was going to lock in on him, and he still got 110 catches a year. Brandon Marshall is probably the only receiver since then that I've seen it's in the same scenario. Who has he ever had on the other side of him to catch the ball, and yet he always is super productive and gets a ton of catches? And if he would have had his head screwed on straight, he could be another guy that he could probably be one or two on this list. Four isn't bad, but again, I really think that Brandon Marshall is just an amazing wide receiver. He always puts up big fantasy numbers, even though he's the only one on offense catching the ball.
Probably the only one when you said that I thought of immediately that's never had anybody on the opposite side is Andre Johnson, who you have at sixth. So he's, somebody who's just got to put up the numbers because there's nobody else that's going to catch a pass down there.
Another guy who also has done it and been very productive is the guy I had at five is Dwayne Bowe. Dwayne Bowe, if you think about it, a few years back, was probably the top wide receivers with no help anywhere else and with a suspect quarterback, no less.
And Bowe is the first person on this list that doesn't really fall in line with what a lot of the other resources out on the web are talking about. Bowe, you have at five, and a lot of times they don't have him listed until out of the top 10.
Upgraded quarterback, upgraded the coaching system, upgrades in the passing offense, and what I've seen out of Dwayne Bowe, and he's healthy and willing to play with guys like Matt Castle throwing to him, and nobody on the other side able to catch the ball, and the production he would have, and he's a big, strong wide receiver too. He breaks tackles. He's built a lot like Brandon Marshall. Off an injury year, this is a guy who's going to drop a little bit in the draft because he's coming off a so-so year and then backed it up with an injury-plagued year. He's kind of falling out of favor with your fantasy drafters. Keep an eye on him. You'll probably get him in third or fourth round. If you're picking one, two, or three in your league and you're like, oh, who am I going to get in the next go-around? Dwayne Bowe could fall there for you, and you're going to have yourself a solid, in my opinion, top five wide receiver. I'll get him in third or fourth round because he's fallen out of favor with fantasy drafters.
Julio Jones is underneath Andre Johnson. That does surprise me. You got A.J. Green all the way up at the top. Julio Jones doesn't come in until seventh, which, again, it's not an insult to him too much, but he's a little lower than most people have him out there.
Well, again, you got Roddy White.
Mm-hmm.
You got a Gonzalez.
You got just a couple spots lower is Roddy White. That's another guy. Lowers.
Right. I mean, it's amazing, that offense. You're going to have a running back who can catch the ball out of the backfield.
True.
So that's going to take away some production from the receiving core. And I just think there's just not enough balls to go around on that offense, so he has to drop a little bit. Believe me, he's got top five, top three talent. I mean, the guy is great. But I just think with the addition of Steven Jackson, having Gonzalez back another year, and Roddy White being the most targeted wide receiver in the league, that hurts Julio Jones. He's up there because he's going to have a lot more bigger plays and a lot more touchdowns. But like you said, two spots down is Roddy White, who's going to have a lot more receptions. And for football purposes, a lot more third down receptions or bigger plays to help that offense move the chains.
If you're in a dynasty league right now, you have to really hope that you have young wide receivers on your team, because it has started already. You may have missed the boat in dynasty football leagues if you don't have some of these young wide receivers on your team, because you look at like A.J. Green's and Dez Bryant's and Julio Jones, and now there's a Victor Cruz. It's just Calvin Johnson's not old. If you don't have one of these guys on your team, these other teams in the league that you're in, they're going to have them for years to come, and they're going to be beating up on you for years to come, I think. Because they're not going to let go of them. I mean, anybody who's got A.J. Green, Julio Jones, they're not letting go of those guys. They're just going to pound on you with them. So if you're stuck with some of these older guys, you're in trouble.
Well, right. Again, the league's getting so fast, and when you lose a step or two, it's killer.
Yeah, and that's what caught my eye, though, when I looked at this list that we have together. It was like, man, these guys are all young. A lot of these guys are under 5 years.
Yeah,
you know. That's insane that they're ranked so high and they have less than 5 years' experience in the league. That's crazy. We're going to have lots of years of enjoyment watching these guys.
Exactly, and there's a lot of young quarterbacks to throw to them, too.
Mm-hmm.
The good thing is keep an eye on your draft. If you see a lot of running backs going, start stacking up on wide receivers. Pile them up. And then go get your middle-of-the-road running backs or a rookie running back later in the draft. Take a top five wide receiver, or take three of the top 20 wide receivers before you take two of the top 20 running backs. That makes sense, because they're a lot more productive. Those top 20 wide receivers are going to be more productive than your top 20 running backs.
Absolutely.
So don't reach for a running back because you need a running back. Get D'Angelo Williams late in the draft. Take Victor Cruz. Take Demaryius Thomas. Grab those guys if your choice is one of those running backs or wide receivers or a middle-of-the-road running back, because you need to fill that position. Get a rookie later in the draft.
Speaking of Victor Cruz, you have him at number 8 on the list, and his wide receiver partner, Nix, is not even in the top 20.
Well, here's why. I think Victor Cruz is the big play guy. He's been healthy most of his career, and the emergence of Ruben Randall is going to affect Hakeem Nicks more than it's going to affect Victor Cruz. Watch for Ruben Randall. There's a name for you, a little sleeper for you, Ruben Randall.
Roddy White comes in right after that, and then another youngin', jeez, again, Randall Cobb up in Green Bay.
Liked what I saw out of him. I think he will be their number one wide receiver. Now, there's so many weapons there. That's why he's not up higher. But you lose Greg Jennings, and didn't have him most of last year, so it's not really a loss. Because Randall Cobb stepped right in and was probably more productive. He's your poor man's Percy Harb. Runs the ball, catches the ball. They find ways to get him the ball. And if you get return yards in your league, he's even a bigger plus. So he really is somebody who is going to take that next step. It's his third year. He's going to be approaching top 10 status. And by the end of the year, Jordy Nelson's injury problems and James Jones, isn't a model of consistency, as is JerMichael Finley. The main guy is going to be Randall Cobb. He's going to put up big numbers this year.
And this one does surprise me, though. Just misses the top 10, but Demaryius Thomas, you have listed at 11. Why is he not in that group of 10?
The addition of Wes Welker is going to steal production out of both him and Decker. Now, I think of the three, because Demaryius Thomas is going to be the big play guy, I think he's going to be the touchdown guy. That's why I have him as the only top 20 Bronco wide receiver. I don't have Welker on this list, because I think they're all going to be stealing production from each other. You only have so many balls to go around. And I think the big plays, I'm looking at big plays, I'm looking at touchdowns, and I have to give that nod to Demaryius Thomas, the group, and that's why he's there at 11.
Steve Smith, Carolina Panther. I cannot believe he's still on the list, though, this high.
Well, the reason why I have him on a list this high, because I think this is the year that Cam Newton becomes a better passer. And with that, I mean, if I'm starting a team, give me Steve Smith in his prime. That is one tough SOB.
Yeah.
A guy comes to play football.
You know what? I was so mad in the one league that I had with him when he re-signed and they drafted Cam Newton. I thought for sure that was the end of his career. And he just has, like you said, oldie but goodie, man. He will not die. He just keeps going.
He's just productive. And again, I think this is a year that Cam Newton matures into a better passing quarterback. I mean, he's a very productive fantasy football quarterback, but the fact that he'll be able to throw the ball better this year, I think it's going to help Steve Smith. It's also going to – someone else is going to emerge as a number two in there, which I think is going to help Steve Smith. And, yeah, I still have the confidence that he's going to have a very productive year. And, again, you could probably get him fourth or fifth round.
There's some guys on this list that you just don't expect to see this far down on the list. And at 13, when the quarterback throws for as many yards as he does in New Orleans and is, you know, leads the league, I mean, Rodgers has an amazing season. Everybody's going crazy. And then here's Drew Brees, who actually ends up finishing with more yards than him. Somebody's got to catch the passes down there, right? Colson's still the guy.
He's the number one guy. I mean, they've got rid of some of their receivers who never really panned out, like your Meachums and your Devery Hendersons. You know, they have Lance Moore, but he's still, Colson's still the guy to get. I think they have, was it Nick Toon that's there in Morgan?
Yeah.
I think Morgan got himself in a little bit of trouble, but eventually that'll be cleared up. But Colson's still the guy. I would say he is 1 and 1A with Jimmy Graham. They are going to talk about running the ball more, and they have to, like we talked in our last podcast, because of how porous their defense is. But Colts is still going to be 11, 1,200 yards, 8, 9, 10 touchdowns, you know, 80 receptions, because they are going to have 4,000-plus yards, maybe close to 5,000 yards, to spread around over about four or five players.
Larry Fitzgerald finally comes in right after him. That's quite a tumble. You know, obviously, last year he struggled mightily. But now he's got himself a new quarterback in there. Guy who likes to sling it a lot.
The reason why I have him a little lower is because I still want to see how that works out. Let's see what happens with Larry Fitzgerald with a good quarterback. The reason I said this is because you're also going to see the emergence of Andre Roberts. I think Michael Floyd came on really strong last year, which is going to cut into Larry Fitzgerald's production. He's not going to throw for 5,000 yards. There's only going to be so many yards to go around, and he'll get the lion's share. But it's not going to be a big part of that last year. 1,000 yards, 10 touchdowns, good production. But I still want to see how it all clicks on that offense with a new coach, new quarterback, with the star receiver. How does he fit in with all that?
And we're always a little more risk-averse on this show. Why take him when you can take a guy like Colston, take a guy like Steve Smith, who are in a bit more stable position there?
Or more known. You know what they've done? Yep. In their situation.
Yeah, Vincent Jackson comes in, then Reggie Wayne is still kicking right after that. DeSean Jackson?
Yeah.
Really, that surprises me, having him up on this list a little higher than I would feel comfortable putting him there.
Well, he's probably by far the most frustrating wide receiver you could ever have in fantasy football.
Mm.
Because the guy, he's a little
girl. I couldn't trade him fast enough when I had him.
No, and I let him go in free agency because I just felt that he'll have that game where he blows it out of the water and it disappears for however many games.
Right.
His small frame concerns me, as always. I don't know much about this new offense with Kelly. But the reason why he cracked the top 20 and as high as he did, well, they lost Macklin. He's really the go-to guy now, which could be a bad thing because he's going to get hurt because he's going to be the go-to guy. That being said, on a 16-game schedule, being the fact that Macklin is out, and I think Vic and Foles have both looked good. He's going to be DeSean Jackson. I look for an emergence from him. I look for him to become a leader on that team this year. And I look for a big season out of him. Nice, consistent season.
Garcon right after that. This is a guy I didn't want to touch. He was one of those, I'm going to go to another team. You and I both are kind of all in the same boat where we don't really like free agents going to other teams and seeing how they do. And he pulled it together over there, though.
He had a little injury to start the season, but he started the season off great with that big play against New Orleans. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, RG3, it all hinges on him. But they have a good backup. They're going to be able to throw the ball. You know, you're going to see 1,000 yards. You're going to see 7 to 8 touchdowns, maybe 11, 1,200 yards. You're going to see a bunch of 100-yard games. Basically went from Indy to Washington again, and we don't like the wide receivers who change teams, but he seemed to be pretty productive, and I think he's going to build on last year.
19 and 20. Antonio Brown, Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Wallace is gone. He should get a little more action over there, and you have faith in him.
Yeah, I think he can have, because he returns punts, he'll have some more production. He's the number one guy. He was really the number one guy last year, if you think about it, because Wallace was a no-show. Big Ben, another year in that offense, a little bit better commitment to the running game, better offensive line, no tight end. I really think Antonio Brown's going to have a very productive year and showing that he was worth his big contract.
And then T.Y. Hilton, Indianapolis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The only other team with two wide receivers, Colts and the Falcons. And I like what I seen from him last year. He came on strong at the end of the year. I think he's going to be the clear-cut number two on an offense that's going to – Andrew Luck throwing for 4,500 yards this year and 30 touchdowns. You're going to see him get big – him and Reggie Wayne have big – and they're going to have suspect running game. So you're going to see a lot more throwing. Their defense isn't that good, so they're going to be behind a lot. The guy does return punts and kicks, so he's going to get some of those yards for those who have that near league. And I think he make the big jump his rookie year to his second year and becomes a top 20 wide receiver.
Now, everybody listen to the show. Everybody's going crazy. They're trying to figure out, wait a minute, you went through 20 players and I did not hear Wes Welker's name mentioned once. What is going on here?
I just think there's only so many balls to go around. This isn't going to be a Peyton Manning slinging the ball all over the place. I think they have a commitment to a running game with Moreno and Ball and Hillman. So I really think they're going to want to try and run the ball a little bit more. You have Demaryius Thomas, who's the big play guy. You have Decker, who's a bigger version of Wes Welker, who also can get deep. And Welker's that underneath guy to replace the tight end, or the Dallas Clark, so to speak, that they had in Indianapolis. You're going to see productive, but you're not going to see 100 catches like you saw up in New England. You're going to see 70 catches, 1,000 yards, 5 touchdowns, maybe 4 touchdowns, because Peyton Manning's going to have bigger targets to throw to in the red zone. And Welker's not one of those breakaway speed guys who's going to break a 50 or 60 yard. The things that they did in New England with them, they're not going to be able to repeat that because it's a different offense in Denver. And I don't think they're going to sling the ball the way we think they're going to sling the ball because of Peyton Manning. He's older. He is coming off an injury. They're going to want to protect him. They're saying he doesn't have the arm strength he used to have. And a lot of that has to do with getting Wes Welker the ball is underneath and outside. You need a lot of arm strength for that. I just don't see the production he had in New England.
What I think is interesting is when I look at the players who didn't make the list, how they're so connected to one another and their movements, because you have Wes Welker on the list and you also have Danny Amendola on the list of players that you didn't put in the top 20.
That's a guy I did factor in injuries. The guy just can't stay healthy. I'm not predicting an injury. I'm going by past performances. And the guy hasn't proven that he can play an entire season. I also think that a lot of people are going to be Danny Amendola happy because they think they're getting Wes Welker when they get him. Well, they're two different wide receivers that have two different skill sets. And I really like the opportunity that Aaron Dobson's going to get. Aaron Dobson, 6'3", 200 pounds, and he has blazing speed. A little raw with his route running. And if I have to say, of New England's wide receivers, Michael Jenkins isn't going to be a factor. It's going to be Aaron Dobson, then at Danny Amendola. So actually, I put Aaron Dobson ahead of Amendola on that.
Really? That is interesting. You got guys like Torrey Smith and Anquan Boldin, who together in Baltimore were a great duo. Now they're separated. You got neither one of those guys in the top 20.
Well, Anquan Boldin has never been a real fantasy stud.
Well,
he's been productive.
First year
he was. He came out of nowhere, and he was a high. But lately, he hasn't been. We're also talking about going back 7 or 8 years.
Right.
Ultimately, he's a fair number two, number three wide receiver. So that's why Boldin didn't make the list. Torrey Smith, I just think he's a one-dimension wide receiver.
Needs Boldin, doesn't he?
Needs a guy like Boldin. Needs a guy like Pitta. Needs a guy like Dixon. They're all not there. I don't think a guy like Jacoby Jones, who's the same type wide receiver, all he does is take the top off the defense. Now you have two wide receivers doing the same thing. So if I'm a defense, I'm playing deep safety. And it'll struggle against cover two defenses because he's not going to be able to take the top off the defense. He's not going to be able to run the ball, get the ball over the middle, and make those type catches. So he'll get some big plays, but you're not even going to see it. I don't even think you're going to see 1,000 yards out of Torrey Smith this year.
Ooh. Yeah, that's not good. That hurts. Now, there's a lot of messes out there, just like in the running back situation where owners are going to need to know. They're going to be in the back of the draft. They're going to try and figure out, oh, boy, where do I go in San Francisco if I want to take one of their receivers? Who should I be targeting?
I liked A.J. Jenkins. He was a high draft pick last draft. Really didn't get on the field. They went with experience with Randy Moss, who I believe is going to be in one of the booths as a commentator, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. That
no, thank
be
you.
Interesting.
No,
yeah,
thank
that
you.
That ought to be interesting.
Put him in there with Deion Sanders. That'll be a great show.
Since we're talking about wide receivers, Randy Moss is still one of my all-time favorites.
Of course.
But anyway, make a long story even longer. I would say A.J. Jenkins is the guy there. Kaepernick started to get some definite rapport with Vernon Davis. So Boland's there, but I don't see much out of him. That's a receiving core. If I have to draft somebody who's catching the ball, that's going to be their tight end, Vernon Davis.
Man, there are a ton of teams just looking out there that have messy, messy wide receiver options. San Diego Chargers, they lost their one receiver already. Almost lost another one. Again, what is going on out there in San Diego with wide receivers?
Again, they fired their training staff. I guess they got to fire the one that they have now because that whole team is made of glass. Oh, it has been for years. You're going to see Gates get hurt at some point. Ryan Matthews is going to get hurt at some point. Denario Alexander is gone. Who's the
I think they built that stadium on like an old Indian burial ground or something. I just don't get it.
Yeah, or is it on concrete?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I just don't know. I mean, who's the other receiver who almost got hurt? Was it Brown?
Floyd.
Oh, Floyd. Well, yeah.
Malcolm Floyd, who falls down.
That's not a shocker. I'm surprised he's not out for the year just by stepping wrong. Higakai is, and we've said it on a million podcasts, fragile as fragile can be, Malcolm Floyd.
So who are you grabbing there, though? Somebody's got to catch the ball, right?
Vincent Brown.
Vincent Brown. Okay.
Yeah, coming back off a broken leg or whatever he had. But Gates, you know, Gates is going to be productive with these injuries. I mean, Denario Alexander had such a good connection with Phillip Rivers. They really came on strong at the end of the year, and it's a shame he's gone.
Yeah, that is a shame. The Browns wide receiving core.
Who are they?
Josh Gordon.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Greg Little.
I like Greg Little. They're putting him in the slot. Devon Bess.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
The problem with Devon Bess is he looks ridiculous in a football uniform. He does. Take a look at him next time and let me know if I'm kidding or not. And that's the one thing I think I said in the podcast, too. And again, what I get out of these preseason games, that there's a lot of different numbers out there that NFL players just don't wear. And the ones that do wear them during preseason look ridiculous. Number 69, number 78 is not a big number that a lot of people use. 44, 45, these aren't numbers that are predominantly used, and they just don't look like football players in those uniforms. Again, anyway, I'm a little off topic there, but I like Greg Little in the slot. I think they're going to use Denario. I think he'll be a little bit more able to use his size a little bit. Problem with the Browns receivers, they all have the dropsies. Yeah. I think that's why they brought in Devon Vest. This guy doesn't drop the ball, and they need somebody to keep the chains moving who doesn't drop the ball. Devon Vest doesn't drop the ball.
Very true. Minnesota.
Again, I'm not a big fan of Greg Jennings going there. Quarterback situation, you go from Aaron Rodgers to Christian Ponder. That's like going from filet mignon to hot dog. Think about it. I don't like receivers who switch teams. Never did. Again, I always think of Alvin Harper. Look for a significant drop out of Greg Jennings. But again, brand name, someone will take him higher than you should. I would run from that wide receiving quarter. Nobody other than maybe Kyle Rudolph as a backup tight end. Would I draft at all? I would take Greg, maybe it's my fifth wide receiver.
What about the rookie? Patterson. Cordarrelle Patterson. Yeah.
Rookie wide receivers very rarely come in and have a major impact for fantasy purposes.
Yeah, I see in your list, your top 20, you got no rookies on there at all.
Well, right. And I would. There's no wide receiver that came like a Julio Jones, AJ Green. I mean, it's just.
Even then, would you have put them in the top 20? There are those two?
Probably Julio Jones.
You'd have been hesitant, though, but Julio Jones.
It would have been down near the bottom. But again, the problem, but you know, the reason why I'd have a little bit more faith in that decision. Would be the quarterback. Well, Ponder's really hasn't shown that he's anything less. He's less than a game manager. He's don't screw up because you're just handing the ball off to Adrian Peterson. If the defense happens to stop him and give you a 3rd and 6, now you're going to have to throw the ball. Don't throw it down the field. Don't throw an interception. That's what Christian Ponder's instructions are. Just turn around, hand the ball off, get the hell out of the way. And if you have to throw the ball, throw it short. And don't take a chance.
Yeah, he does a great job handing off to the best player in the
league. I've ever seen.
Yeah, just keep doing that, man. You do a wonderful job doing that. What about the other hyped wide receiver down in St. Louis, Tavon Austin? Is he the one that should be targeted by people if they're going to grab anybody as a wide receiver in St. Louis?
You know, I just see Troy Edwards with him.
Ooh.
Just the size.
Oh.
The type of receiver he was in college.
I'm not happy now. I took him in the league.
Yeah, so. I said that in another podcast when we were talking about it. Just his size. Corners are big now. Look at the Seattle corners. And not only that, here's a factor you got to look at. 6 games are going against San Francisco's defense, Seattle's defense, and the Cardinals' defense. The Cardinals has Patrick Peterson. They got
still, I think that might be a bonus for him, though, because they're going to have to throw because they're not going to run against any of those teams.
Well, but they're going to cover him because he's going to be the main guy. And as a rookie, that's where the struggles come in. When they focus on you as a rookie, it's hard to have a productive season. If I'm Seattle with those big corners, he'll have trouble getting off the line. I think he's going to struggle, as I tweeted, that original Guru 91. Aaron Dobson is going to be a top rookie in fantasy because he's got the best quarterback situation. He's going to start from day one. He's going to be number two to an injury-prone number one in Amendola. It's going to make him quickly the number one receiver in New England. And with the injuries to the tight ends, Dobson is going to be the number one rookie wide receiver this year.
Really? That is going out on a limb.
Well, who do you think could have a better year than him?
Austin.
Really?
Yeah, because they don't have very many options in St. Louis.
That's the problem.
Yeah, that is a problem, but I do think he can also...
And the quarterbacking situation is a problem there.
He also takes handoffs out of the backfield.
Yeah, he's dynamic, but he's not Percy Harvin. He's not even Randall Cobb. So I didn't see it. I thought there was a lot too much hype with him. Hey, I've been known to be wrong once every decade, but in this case, I don't think it's the case. I see more of Troy Edwards when I watch the college footage and the games in college than I see of somebody coming in like a Julio Jones or Nate Digger. Again, it's about the big receiver now, big fast receiver, guy who can maneuver in midair, catch the fade pass and all this that stuff. I just don't see him doing.
He's more like, yeah, he fits like a DeSean Jackson type mold. So
yeah, and if they're one dimensional, and then the problem with that is once they get inside the 20, they become obsolete because they can't use their main weapon of speed inside the 20. So unless they're breaking a humongous touchdown, 50 yards, 40 yards, 30 yards, they really can't utilize their biggest talent, which is their speed. And that hurts them for fantasy purposes. That hurts.
Who is going to catch the ball in Oakland?
Jacoby Ford.
Jacoby Ford?
Yep.
He's still out there?
He is.
Oh.
Now there's a guy, if he could just stay healthy. That guy, I'm telling you, I see the guy who's 5'9", outjumps 6'4" corner or safety.
That is not the name I expected to hear from you. Rod Streeter, Denarius Moore, and those were the names I was thinking, and then you just scream out Jacoby Ford.
What? Jacoby Ford, again, I'm going to go against the grain. Jacoby Ford has the speed and elusiveness, and the fact that he returns punts and kicks for touchdowns is a strength that a lot of these guys don't have on that Oakland team. I'd stay away from all of them. If I had to take one, it would be Jacoby Ford, because if you get return yardage, because he does factor into it.
And I'm going to say Streeter on that one only because he's the only guy who can – he's the only guy who can seem to stay healthy.
Right. Well, that's the thing with Ford. The guy can't – he can't play with three games a year.
And I think Moore's got the most talent on that team, but he can't stay healthy, and neither – He has Isaac Bruce hamstrings, so it doesn't do any good to anybody to have him out there. Jacksonville, what a mess out there.
Cecil Shorts, I guess. Well, who's throwing it? I mean, I think Chad Henne ultimately is going to be the quarterback there.
And that's scary.
I can see them using Robinson in a lot of trickery plays. They have him listed as a running back. He got 9 carries as a running back. I don't know. I didn't watch any of the game if it was option or an actual straight handoffs. But, yeah, this thing with Justin Blackmon getting into a fight on the sidelines, I mean, that team's in complete disarray. That's your team that's getting the number one draft pick next year, Jacksonville. You'd have to take Cecil Shorts because he had a little bit of rapport with Chad Henne. So if Chad Henne wins the quarterback position, which I think he will, I would go with Cecil Shorts. And Cecil Shorts is going to go pretty high. You watch these drafts, he's going to go pretty high.
Okay, I've saved the best team for last. The New York Jets. Do they have any wide receivers?
Clyde Gates?
You got to pick somebody. Somebody on that team. Clyde Gates, huh? Holmes is sitting there saying he's not even going to come back. He doesn't even know when, blah, blah, blah. And then Stephen Hill.
The coaches don't even want him.
So yeah, coaches have never even liked him. Didn't even want him being drafted. And apparently he still has stone hands.
Right. And you got, Clyde Gates was a ton of speed. You got Jeremy Curley, who was pretty
good. Clyde Gates, who was cut from the Miami Dolphins because the Miami Dolphins have unbelievable wide receivers.
All right, They brought back Braylon Edwards.
Oh.
I believe they brought back Braylon Edwards, again, who didn't play last year, was cut by how many teams. They brought in Kellen Winslow, Jr.
Ooh, yeah.
They're really reaching for Savant. I mean, that's where
I can't believe their quarterbacks aren't successful out there, with such an amazing wide receiving core.
Well, that's like we said in the draft, ridiculous. About the draft. The fact that they didn't bring in any weapons was the fact that they have no commitment to Mark Sanchez. Because if they had a commitment to Mark Sanchez, they would have at least brought in the top. They had 2 first-round picks and a early second-round pick to bring in one of those wide receivers, Robert Woods, Marquise Goodwin.
Right. They could have paid Darrell Revis to be there and used one of the, instead of taking Milner, they could have used that on a wide receiver or something to help that offense out.
You need to tell me Cordell Patterson wouldn't be an upgrade over what they have now?
Of course, yes.
And they didn't even attempt to get one in free agency. Nothing. Nothing. So there is nobody, like I said before, there is nobody on the Jets offense that should be drafted.
Well, we've discussed everything now. Those three things are done. We've given you the rankings for the quarterbacks, the guys who catch the ball, and the guys who run the ball. Next week, we're going to start talking about all of the preseason games, what we've seen, what has changed. We didn't really like to talk about all the first couple games as much, but this third game is what's going to matter the most. So we're going to break down and really tell you guys, you need to pay attention. Okay, pay attention to this guy. He's made steps. Preseason is not worthless. Preseason does shine some light on some situations. There's a guy down in New Orleans that has been having a good time. Anquan Boldin was a guy a long time ago who people thought, he's not going to amount to anything, shined out really good. So pay attention to the preseason. We're going to let you know who we've noticed in the preseason. But as always, thanks for listening, guys. This has been The Blitz. I'm Kyle Omler, and that's Chris Bellino, the Guru.
Take care now.